You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Golden Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM. And we're going to move over and talk NFL football. You know, the preseason is actually looming in the NFL. We're not that far off from getting football back. And I know that's always a great, great sign for a lot of people. Great news. Joining us right now over the phone, we have a first-time guest on the show. He is a beat writer for the Denver Broncos, works with the Denver Post. He is Cameron Wolf. Cameron, very grateful for the time today. Thank you for making some time for us out of your busy schedule to talk Denver Bronco football.
Yeah, no problem.
It's that time of the year where people start getting excited. You know, we're a little under a month away from the first preseason game. The Broncos will open things up against the Chicago Bears on the road. That'll be August 11th. It's been a very busy offseason for the Broncos, and Cameron, we'll dive right into it. The lingering question with the Broncos is, when will Von Miller actually be on the field, if at all? I know that there has been some progress, at least that's what reports indicate, as far as a new long-term deal goes. Give us the lowdown. What do things look like right now with Von Miller and the Broncos?
Yeah, it's been a waiting game. You know, the Broncos have upped their offer. Originally, they came out with an offer that Von's camp felt was pretty disrespectful as far as what the rest of the league was bringing in. But in the week or so leading up to the deadline, which is July 15th, they made a more competitive offer, and that seems like that's closer to a figure that he'll actually get, a little over $60 million. And obviously, they still have a few minor details to figure out as far as when he will get the guaranteed money and how much of it is fully guaranteed versus injury. But they're close to the point where it would be kind of surprising for them not to get a deal done by that Friday deadline. But, you know, you never know with NFL, and a lot of these guys have their stern numbers in mind. So I think this is a thing that probably will linger until Thursday and possibly Friday. They have to make a decision by 2 p.m. Friday to extend him, or Von will have to play on the franchise tag or not play at all.
You know, it's such an interesting offseason for the Broncos, and I've said this for a lot, you know, for the last few years. When you win a Super Bowl, things can either go one of or two ways. In the NFL, you can attract free agents, or a lot of guys who are in the last year of a deal, they go for the money once they have that Super Bowl championship. And it seems like the Broncos have definitely hit their rough patch this offseason. Regardless of the departures, without Von Miller, this team looks completely different on paper, regardless of the other departures.
Yeah, that's definitely fair to say. I mean, like you mentioned, the Super Bowl is sort of a gift and a curse because you get that ring and that's what you all play for. But once players get that, they worry about the second most important thing, or first, depending on what you're talking about, and that's getting their money. And a lot of times those Super Bowl teams are built that way because they spent money and they've got their team to the point where the talent's there. And obviously the Broncos didn't have the money to retain all of their guys, so quite a bit of them have left, and obviously there's a lot upheaval at the quarterback position particularly, but I think they're at a position where they feel like they have their core guys there, and if they can get Von back, they feel like there hasn't been that much dissent that they will still be, you know, at least a playoff team.
The departure of Danny Trevathan, what does this do to the middle of the Denver Bronco defense?
It forces somebody else to step up. I mean, Brandon Marshall's still going to be there, and he's probably going to slide into Trevathan's spot on the defense and play that side. And then, obviously, they'll have somebody else, new starter. And right now, it's looking like Todd Davis is the favorite for that spot. Wade Phillips and the Broncos defensive coordinators have talked him up all offseason. He's an undrafted guy, sort of like coming in unheralded, sort of like Brandon Marshall and Danny Trevathan did. And he's played well. He's a little bit undersized, but so are all the Broncos inside linebackers. And he will get the first shot of it with Corey Nelson and Zaire Anderson both pushing up behind. But, you know, barring any injuries or any struggles during camp, he will be the guy to pick up that load.
So what's a bigger hole for the Broncos to fill when you take a look at the landscape of what they have right now? Malik Jackson, who we've had on the show several times, we love Malik. He bolts, gets a $90 million deal with the Jaguars. We just talked about Trevathan leaving for the Bears. Bigger hole in your mind defensively to fill in the upcoming season? Is it Jackson or Trevathan?
Yeah, I think that's tough. I think you probably have to say Trevathan just because of the way the Broncos set up. They have a lot of pressure relieved on the defensive ends because of the play of the outside linebackers. I don't think neither of the guys will be a huge loss as we make it seem. Malik Jackson really had one great year last year and really came over the scene, and he had a really great year. There were some times that he seemed like the best player on the field. But a lot of that does come with Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware and Shane Ray and Shaq Barrett coming off the edge. And they picked up a couple guys and Jared Crick and their second round pick, Adam Gostis, that should be able to fill that role a lot better. And I think, you know, maybe they won't be at a Malik Jackson level, but I don't think there will be that big of a drop off there. But inside linebacker, Ty Davis will have a big role because Trevathan has been the leading tackler two of the last 3 years. So he will have to come in and be on his P's and Q's, you know, almost immediately.
Again, our guest right now is Cameron Wolf. He's a beat writer with the Denver Post covering the Denver Broncos. And with less than a month to go before the first game of the preseason, Cameron's kind enough to join us to break down the Denver Broncos situation. Cameron, let's talk about the quarterback battle. This is a very tricky situation. First off, the Broncos go out and get Mark Sanchez. I have said this several times, and I'll stick by it. Mark Sanchez, if you look at the statistics, I know he's nowhere near the leader of Peyton Manning, but statistically, he can fill that void of what Peyton brought to the table last season, although it's not set in stone that Mark Sanchez is going to be the starter.
Yeah, exactly right. I think if you told most people that Mark Sanchez would be the Broncos starter back in March, they probably would have laughed at you. But that's sort of where you're at this side of the equation. And I think that's one thing that will help Mark a lot is that experience factor. And that was huge for Peyton last offseason. You know, the Broncos are a veteran-laden team. A lot of these guys have been around for a while. Not a lot of rookies will get immediate play time. So they'll look for someone who has been in the fire before can lead them. So Mark has that experience. He's been to a couple AFC championship games. His results have been mixed throughout his career, but he's in a situation that nothing will be too big for him as far as the level. And I think if he comes in and is able to kind of hold the fort and be that steady guy at the quarterback position and let that run game lead them, then the Broncos will find themselves in not too different of a scenario than they did last year.
Tell me if I'm right or wrong there. I mean, statistically, when we look at what Peyton accomplished in the regular season last year, Mark Sanchez can easily fill that void. It's the other aspects that makes Peyton so good that he may have a hard time, you know, acclimating to his game.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, let's be honest, the Broncos had one of the worst quarterback play throughout the regular season last year, combined with Peyton and Brock, and they still found a way to win the Super Bowl. So it can be done, especially with this defense and with the way this team is set up. And you're right, the thing about Peyton was not necessarily the way he was playing, but what he brought to the team. Every time he came into the huddle on the field, the team got another step. They got another giddy in their step, and they were able to play at a different level. He wasn't necessarily a better quarterback than Brock last year, but when he got on the field, the team played better, and they won more efficiently, and that's really what it matters. So, you know, Mark will have to take up the offense, make sure that he's comfortable with that and running those plays, and exude that leadership so that the players around him can pick up their level of play and sort of, you know, carry him if they need to.
Again, our guest Cameron Wolf, beat writer of the Denver Broncos for the Denver Post. Give him a follow on Twitter at Cameron Wolf. Cameron, I want to talk about two offensive rookies that the Broncos brought in. I thought they knocked the draft out of the park. You get Paxton Lynch at the end of the first round. There was talks that Paxton Lynch may have been one of the top two quarterbacks selected in the NFL draft. He falls to the latter part of the first round. They snatch him. A guy that a lot of people are familiar with here in the state of Utah, Devontae Booker, out of the University of Utah. We only got him for 2 years here in this state. He was a JUCO transfer. But boy, he delivered the fireworks when he was on the field. How have these two rookies progressed throughout the summer?
Yeah, it's been a mixed bag, I guess, for Paxton Lynch. He's obviously the rookie, and he's obviously a guy who's got to pick up the offense and play catch-up, and he's also finding himself in a unique situation where he's in a quarterback battle for a defending Super Bowl champion. And he's a guy, I watched him a good bit in Memphis, and he's sort of you know, truth be told, he's going to be a guy who you may not want to be out there week one just because of the system that he comes from. In Memphis, they had a lot of three-step drop, one-read sets. He didn't really make a lot of NFL throws, and he didn't really have that playbook size that they have in the NFL. So those are things that usually take a year or two at least for a guy to pick up, and he's been sort of asked to expedite that. So you sort of hope that the coaching staff can see that and not really pressure him into a situation he's not ready for. Not saying he can't pick it up in the next month or so, but that's probably not an ideal situation. I think you want him to just sit back and learn and continue to progress. Maybe 2017 or 2018, you're looking at your guy that could be the quarterback of the future. And for Booker, he's a guy who's been getting, you know, the last few weeks of OTAs, he started to get more reps. I talked to running backs coach Eric Studisville about him right before they broke for camp. He said he was impressed for what he's seeing for him in the last couple weeks after he got healthy from that knee injury. You know, obviously, rookie running backs, the big question is pass protection. Can they get on the field? Can you count on them? And that's one thing that Studisville said that Booker had, and he felt like that was something that could keep him, you know, getting out there. And obviously, he'll have competition with Ronnie Hillman and Juwan Thompson and Capri Bibbs to see who's going to be getting those carries behind C.J. Anderson. But he's a guy who can do it all and, you know, be on the field for three downs. And that's always going to be a plus for a running back.
Is it far-fetched to say that Devontae Booker is the most talented back on the Broncos roster right now?
I think it may be a little far-fetched to say that just because we haven't gotten into camp yet. I think they really like C.J. Anderson. It really showed in the contract they gave him. And he really came on strong late in the year. I think if he can, you know, do that throughout the year, he could be a guy that can give you top 10 running back numbers. So I wouldn't yet put Devontae Booker's talent level up to that level. He'll have to prove himself there. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see Devontae Booker taking most of the primary backup snaps, you know, ahead of a Ronnie Hillman, who was actually the Broncos' leading rusher last year. So, you know, he'll be able to get play time based on how he performs. He could be anywhere from the number two back to the number three or four back. So it's based on how he performs and how he can, you know, pick up the load.
Cameron, last question before I let you go. What's the most intriguing storyline surrounding the Denver Broncos outside of Von Miller from here to the start of the regular season?
I mean, it's got to be the quarterbacks, just seeing who's gonna do that. But I sort of get tired of the quarterback a little bit. I think you sort of get into the factor of what's going to happen with that defense. You know, obviously they're waiting to see what happened with Aqib Talib and his situation as far as the gunshot and if he's going to be suspended and how does the defense recoup after being the number one defense pretty much all last year, losing some weapons and still expect to come back and carry that load again. Can they be that same dominant defense? They can't. Will the offense be able to pick up some of that load to help them defend that title?
Cameron Wolf, beat writer for the Denver Broncos with the Denver Post. Cameron, tell the listeners how they can find more Cameron Wolf.
You can just check me out at DenverPost.com, Broncos, or on Twitter at Cameron Wolf with the E at the end of Wolf.
Cameron, it was a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you so much for the time today.
Yep, no problem.
We're going to pause for just a second, but we have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.